This episode is brought to you by Disney+.
If you're loving the new original series Rivals, then Rivals, the official podcast, is a must listen.
Hosted by the brilliant Pandora Sykes, this is your go-to for exclusive insights into how the steamy world of Rivals came to your screen.
Pandora dives into the juiciest moments and sauciest scenes alongside the creative masterminds behind Rivals, from executive producer Dominic Treadwell Collins to actors Danny Dyer and Emily Attek.
Listen to Rivals, the official podcast, but make sure you've streamed Rivals on Disney Plus first. You can't escape spoilers. Rivals, an original new series now streaming exclusively on Disney Plus.
Copyright 2024, Disney and its related entities, 18 plus subscription required. Learn more at DisneyPlus.com.
If you or someone you care about has cancer, Macmillan Cancer Support's online community is here to help from day one. Macmillan's free online forum provides a safe space to get support from both experts and others who've been there. Members support each other anonymously, sharing what's helped them on a range of subjects, from dealing with side effects such as hair loss and fatigue, to money worries and managing work, or talking with children about a diagnosis. There are different forums on cancer types or experiences, opportunities to ask an expert, and blog posts. Find support 24/7 from people who get what it's like to have cancer. To join, search Macmillan Online Community.
Hey, podcast listeners. Have you heard? You can listen to your favorite podcasts ad-free. Good news. With Amazon Music, you have access to the largest catalog of ad-free top podcasts included with your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.co.uk/ad-free podcasts. That's amazon.co.uk/ad-free podcasts to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello and welcome to Watch What Crappens, a podcast about all that crap on Bravo that we just love to talk about. I'm Ben Mandelker, and joining me today, fresh from his almost done home, Ronnie Karam. How are you?
Well, hello, Ben. What's going on, baby?
Not much. Just excited to kick off a very spooky week on Crappens. It's not that spooky, actually. It's just that Halloween's later this week, so I thought I'd jump on the bandwagon. But
I think it's spooky. You have a bunch of random children showing up at your door demanding shit. It's pretty spooky to me. It's like every single adult's worst nightmare. Hey, master, where's my fucking candy? Where's your fucking education? Where's your job? Okay,
thank you.
What are you giving back? I pay taxes. What do you do? You know, little where's fucking ingrates. Where's my candy? These little fuckers should be bringing me candy and saying, thank you for paying for my schooling, sir. Where's that?
Yeah, I would like candy give back day, where children just come to your house and give you candy. How about that?
Yeah. Hey, you know what I love, adults? I love your outfit. So here's some candy. Thanks for all that you do for this country. Fucking children.
This is an exciting week over here because our Patreon is becoming a monthly Patreon, which will streamline the process for many, many people. If you're already a Patreon supporter, nothing is going to change for you. It'll be exactly the same. But that changeover is going to be happening later this week, right ahead of November 1st. If the process, because we were like a quote unquote buy creation model before, which was antiquated from when we initially signed up in 2014. And it, therefore, that's why we're always saying things like, don't forget to cap your support, da 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 da. Well, guess what? It's all going to be streamlined. It's monthly. Everyone's going to be monthly. Even if you, before you were already signed up, everyone's being converted to monthly. It's going to be monthly going forward. So, So if that is something that is appealing to you, if you were sort of confused by the process, starting November 1st, come on into Patreon land because it's much more user-friendly.
Yeah. Okay. And today, something else that's much more user-friendly is The Real Housewives of Potomac, ladies and gentlemen.
So in this episode, everyone is going down to Lake Norman for the first cast trip of the season. Jacqueline, who is very insecure about being labeled a sidekick, gets to see what it feels like when you're not the sidekick and you're thrust front and center for to receive all the scrutiny that a non-sidekick would receive. And I'm not sure she likes it, to be honest.
Not fun. Sometimes it's okay to be a sidekick. You know what I mean? Robin doesn't need his own thing. He's Robin. You know? It's just Robin. Yeah. I think he's okay with that.
I really did not expect you to be invoking Batman's Robin. I thought you were definitely talking about Robin of Robin and Giselle. So that that caught me by surprise.
Robin never escaped that either, really, did she? I mean, she did have her own storyline. She had a dump truck that time, remember? And then her husband was always like accused of fucking other people. So there was that. But for the most part, she had her hats. But I think for the most part, yeah, it was sidekick energy. And she didn't like being thrust into the spotlight either. She liked being the spotlight and throwing rocks from behind Giselle. But whenever it came to her having to explain her husband's business or anything like that, she could not handle it. She freaked out. So yeah, sidekick energy. Stay the sidekick, guys. If you're a sidekick in life, it's fine. You know, it's easier. You don't have to pay all the bills.
Although it's more beneficial to us if you want to break away from being a sidekick, because you know my theory. I've got sidekick theory, which is that the best drama happens when the sidekick decides it doesn't want to be a sidekick anymore, or it wants a new boss. So like if Jacqueline's going to go down that path, I'm all for it, but I don't think she really wants to. I think it's just going to be like Jacqueline's just a sidekick. That's just how it is. She's Mia's sidekick, and she spends this whole episode complaining about being a sidekick and then staking her claim as the chief sidekick, which is hilarious.
Yes. Yeah,
she anyway,
can't really lane there. She can't, yeah, she tries to be a lead character, but then, you know, starts fighting because the chorus is singing without her, you know. So, girl, pick it up. Who do you want to be? So, we start in the car with Karen and Mia, and they're talking about the drunk driving, kind of. You know, Mia's trying to, and Karen's trying not to. So, Karen's like, well, I broke, and I'm not apologizing for breaking. I admit it, I'm a person who breaks. Dances, that's right. Moving like a robot now.
Wow, Karen, you almost hit me with your windmill. So Mia's like, well, good for you, Karen, for owning up to that part, because I feel like it's okay for you to say, hey, I effed up. And it's not okay to do what I did, because it's not like, you know, it's not your first time doing this, you know? I love that Mia just quietly just slides that in there, like, by the way, let me remind you, you've now gotten two DUIs. Karen's like, well, I'm not going to say I effed up yet. I want you to wait for that. I'm not admitting anything. I want you to wait until we can talk about it, and this will show me who my real friends are. I merely broke, but I did not eff up.
My real friends wouldn't ask me to walk a line. They wouldn't ask me to do that. Can you walk in a straight line? Who asked that? Not friends. And that cop is no longer my friend. I'll tell you that. I'll tell you who's not coming to Lake Norman. Not police officer. Completely disrespectful. So Mia's like, well, I'm disappointed in Karen. Just say you did it, girl. Just say I need you girls. I need your support. Bail me out of jail. Whatever you need to do. You know, give me some bail money. You know, just own it. And Karen's like, I can't talk about it.
Here's what I can do. I can close my lips and swirl them all around my teeth while you talk to me about it.
It's like she's gargling but doesn't want her cheeks to puff out. She's like,
yeah. Karen, also, this episode, she's really leaning into, or really, it's kind of a pun because she's kind of leaning forward. Her new thing is that she's like lowering her chin as low as possible. She's like, let me show you the top of my forehead to emphasize my feelings on something. Like, it's like, she is really like doing this whole thing. Like, she's like, it's almost like she is trying to hold a piece of paper between her chin and her chest. She's like, hold on, I can do this. I will carry this piece of paper across the field. It's like a three-legged race. She's like doing a potato sack race or a three-legged race. It's like, okay, the challenge in today's event is carry this piece of paper between your neck, between your chin and your neck, all the way to the finish line. I can do that.
Well, it also got back to me from my birthday party that Jacqueline said that the night before my party that I called her and I was drunk. That is a lie. That is a lie, and I will not stand for it.
So then in the other car, Jacqueline's like, well, Karen doesn't like the fact that I was going around telling people that she called me drinking. And then Giselle's like, well, I don't know why, because Karen used to call us drunk all the time, which I love that this is a, this is like an ongoing trope with the drunks of Bravo, probably the drunks of the world, but like the drunks of Bravo, that they get drunk and they call each other off camera to complain. Like, we get the stories about Shannon, Karen, and I feel like there was someone else. Did Dorinda call people on the phone a lot? Like how many times does this thing get aired out? Like, well, you're a drunk. All you do is call me and drunkenly and complain and keep me on the phone for hours and hours.
Well, it just goes to show what bad friends these people are in real life, because that's what you're supposed to do with your friends. You call them drunk and you bitch about things. I mean, hello, like, I've been doing it for years. Why? I hate when they hold shit like that against each other. Like, yeah, you're my friend. That's what we're supposed to do. If it was ever bothering you, you call me drunk too. Well, not you, but you know, generally that's what friends do. So I don't like when they're like, oh, how dare you call me drunk? Who am I supposed to call? You know?
Yeah.
Fire department? Of course I'm calling you drunk.
So Wendy's like, okay, well, Karen's not in the car to defend herself, so everyone stops. But then there's another car with Jassy, Ashley, and Kierna. And Kierna's like, I'm not gonna lie, dating someone has been in the morning, and it's not easy. And then she's like, yeah, it's not. And Kierna's like, well, it's not easy for me because we don't want to be doing
it. Kierna,
have you noticed, like, this, what'd you say?
Does Kierna talk like that?
Oh my God. Like, I like Kierna. Beautiful woman. She seems sweet. She has such a marble mouth. I mean, like, I had to go back. Dom and I were watching and we're like, what did she say? We had to go back like a few times. Like, there were a few times this episode where she's like, well, you know what? I was like, what are you saying, Kierna?
It's like she's being fast forwarded or what?
Yeah, it's just like she's swallowing. She's swallowing her words. And I, as someone who swallows his words, I get it. I understand the struggle, but like, it's more in when she does her interviews where I'm like, I think she's like being quieter, but when she's like talking with the group, you can hear her pretty well. But like in the interview, she's like, well, Greg and I are like, what are you saying?
Oh God. So she's saying that, she's married older, right? Oh, no, but he's divorced. So she's saying that her guy is divorced, so he's had so much experience, and it's really hard because he's had so many experiences that she's never had. You know what I mean? So, like, he demands half of her dinner and stuff like that because he knows what it's like to get half of everything when you're broken up. Or like, he's like, so do I get custody today of the kids? She's like, does that mean you're picking them up from school? Like, why are we talking like this? Like, you bring your divorced energy into every new relationship.
Yeah, and she's like, my med spa right now is pretty much on autopilot. It runs itself. And, like, so I'm, like, working with Greg, and, like, I'm the person that's actually going to go to schools creating relationships and, like, letting them know what services we provide. Like, I'm here to help, okay? I'm here to help.
So he has a mental health facility called Open Arms. And, so I guess she goes to schools to get people to come to the Open Arms mental health facility, which...
I guess so. I guess she recruits. I literally, I'm not
I had
even
questions like, after this part. I was like, wait a minute. So you run the med spa on the day, but then you go to school to try and get kids to go to the mental health place. What's going on over there? Like door to door mental health things? I don't know. I guess we need.
I guess like
schools, right?
I guess I don't know. I guess she's just trying to. I guess maybe increase awareness. So Kierna is basically saying that she's like, yeah, and he called me an employee the other day. And she's like, oh my God, affectionately or what? She's like, I was like gagged. I was fucking gag city. No, it was dead ass serious. I almost passed out. And she's like, yeah, I worked with my ex-husband and it was not pleasant. And I was like expecting them to like bring back that clip of them yelling in the parking lot at Oz, but sadly, no.
No kidding. You're trying to shove kangaroo down people's throats. So Kieran is like, oh, you did have a business. Well, we'll see how long I work over there. As long as he calls me an employee, we'll see about that. So then we go back to Giselle and Jacqueline and Wendy. And they're talking about how are Karen and Giselle doing? And she's like, we need to have a conversation because I had an event for my father. and my business of sweatpants, but still, it was very important. It was about brain diseases and really tight, adorable sweatpants that we buy off Alibaba and still haven't put on our website. Ah.
So Wendy's like, well, can you guys talk about it tonight and not tomorrow? Because tomorrow's a special day. She's like, yes, yes, we're not going to mess that up. I don't plan on screaming at Karen. I don't plan on it going left. Karen and I have come a long way. Maybe me have gone a little bit longer because I think her car crashed along that way. But either way, hopefully she will receive.
So then Jacqueline's like, wow, Wendy, you don't have a problem with anybody, huh? And she's like, little old me. So she's like, yeah, there's maybe some unspoken tension, competition. She's saying between you and Jassy, right? Because she's saying Jassy's made a comment about her being a sidekick. And she was like, I'm no one's sidekick or side chick or whatever. And so Wendy's going to just start a fight with Jacqueline and this new girl. But I don't even think that sounds mean, because she says that Jassy saw her on the plane and was like, oh, hey, where's your sidekick? Which would mean that Mia would be the sidekick, not Jacqueline. So why does that mean? I think that people would say that to me. If I walked into a room, they'd be like, hey, where's your sidekick? And I'd be like, Ben.
Right.
You know, probably at a board gaming thing. Like, what the fuck do I know? He's sewing a sleeve. Like, can I come anywhere alone?
Sorry. So Wendy's... I'm me. I'm my own person.
Let me be me.
So Wendy says, so she's... Yeah, so she's like, she hears Jassy saying that. And Giselle's like, sidekick. She's calling you a sidekick, Jacqueline. And Jacqueline's like, she's calling me Mia's sidekick. There's no comparison between myself and Jassy. No offense. So I just want to reassert, I am not a sidekick. I'm independent. But if I were a sidekick, I'm a better sidekick than Jassy.
And Wendy's like, not on my 40th. You started it. Why did you start it? You love it. Yeah. Wendy comes in and lights a bomb. And then she's like, I hope no bombs go off on my 40th. So then we go to Stacy's. She's taking a road trip in the car. And she's just like, it's going to be a long ride today. And then we skip back to Mia and Karen. And Karen's like talking about how Stacy's coming. And then we see Mia saying, like, first of all, where is Stacy? And Karen's like, call her. Let's see what she says. So they FaceTime Stacy, and she doesn't answer. So I wouldn't either, because Stacy's probably like, oh, it's Karen. She's probably drunk. Let's face it.
She's probably, yeah. And Stacy's probably still like upset about something from last episode, because last episode she was very huffy. So Mia's like, you know what? I think that she's done with us. Stacy. She's just not that interesting. I'm like, Mia, you came onto the show with your big claim to fame that you worked at a joint chiropractic and then showed us, like, we had to watch you moving brochures around. So let's not get it twisted.
Actually, Mia did come in as a stripper at a steak and lobster place who married some rich guy who was throwing around cash. I mean, Mia had some pretty good stuff, but I feel like that's unfair to judge other people when you have that kind of a backstory. Like, we can't all just be strippers at a lobster place finding a rich man, you know? Like, I don't know. Like, Stacy,
well, that had to be revealed.
Give the woman a break.
That had to be revealed. We have yet to find out Stacy's skeletons in her closet. So, although I don't think they include ball gown stripping.
But also Mia came on. Yeah, ball gown stripping. Yeah, that was it. But also Mia came on and immediately went after Wendy, right? Wasn't it right. Wendy who she was like,
yeah.
What surgeries have you had? She's like, what? No. They started fighting about surgery or something, like their first time.
Right out the gate.
Yeah. Yep. At Wendy's party, that was like, what was her party? It was so funny.
That was theme. It was for Happy and Ness. It was the debut of Happy boobs. And Ness. It's also the party where it's like, wherever Karen said the thing about, like, I'm going, you're going up in Sing Sing. Whatever.
My hot box.
The hot box at Hamilton College or whatever, whatever it all was. It was great. I wish I remembered the lines. I'm really bad at invoking quotes.
That was a good episode. So yeah, Mia came in firing, and I guess Stacy's not really, but Stacy has come in and I think she's brought a lot to the show. She's brought a questionable man, right?
Yes.
That nobody believes is really into her. or vaginas. And then she's got like her huffiness where she gets like really upset at being, she get kicked out of parties too, but her whole, I love when she got kicked out and was like, I am leaving. You got kicked out. Like, what are you?
Yeah. She's bringing like bougie indignance, which is really what this show is built off of. Like this show, we all remember the first episode where they've been showing it a lot. The Karen getting mad at Giselle at the birthday from Spigot Center, but that was also an episode where Karen brought Giselle like a picture frame of etiquette lessons to be had. Like this show was built on, you know, like people pretending like they are actually, you know, much more, I was going to say much more sophisticated. It's not that. It's more like they just are very indignant.
Yeah.
They are constantly like, I cannot believe you did that. Yeah. So it's nice to see a return to that with Stacey.
A return to bougie indignance.
Exactly.
Love to see it.
Yes.
It's time for a commercial. It's time for a Crappens commercial.
In a quiet suburb, a community is shattered by the death of a beloved wife and mother. But this tragic loss of life quickly turns into something even darker. Her husband had tried to hire a hitman on the dark web to kill her. And she wasn't the only target. Because buried in the depths of the internet is the kill list, a cache of chilling documents containing names, photos, addresses, and specific instructions for people's murders. This podcast is the true story of how I ended up in a race against time to warn those whose lives were in danger. And it turns out, convincing a total stranger someone wants them dead is not easy. Follow Kill List on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen to Kill List and more Exhibit C true crime shows like Morbid early and ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus. Check out Exhibit C in the Wondery app for all your true crime listening.
Have you ever wondered who created that bottle of sriracha that's living in your fridge? Or why nearly every house in America has at least one game of Monopoly? Introducing the best idea yet, a brand new podcast from Wondery and T-Boy about the surprising origin stories of the products you're obsessed with and the bold risk takers who brought them to life.
Like, did you know that Super Mario, the best-selling video game character of all time, only exists because Nintendo couldn't get the rights to Popeye?
Or Jack, that the idea for the McDonald's Happy Meal first came from a mom in Guatemala?
From Pez dispensers to Levi's 501s to Air Jordans, discover the surprising stories of the most viral products.
Plus, we guarantee that after listening, you're going to dominate your next dinner party.
So follow the best idea yet on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen to the best idea yet early and ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus. It's just the best idea yet.
So anyway, Mia is like, whatever, Stacey is not interesting. So they arrive at this house. And Mia's telling us, Lake Norman has a very special place in my heart. You know, Ink and I actually moved to Lake Norman together post-graduation. I mean, I was 19 when I first moved here, and Ink and I were kids. And just tells their origin story with Lake Norman, which is about as fascinating as Mia's assessment is. I just don't think you can go from accusing Stacey of being boring and then tell the story about her and Ink moving to a lake.
Well, the erasure is amazing to behold, isn't it? That Mia's just pretending that she's her great love story is Ink, and it has been this whole time. And Gordon was nothing. Gordon is just some crazy, senile old man, and she doesn't even know. It's like he's stalking her now. She's turned in Gordon into some crazy stalker that she was never into, that kind of just came in and tried to make himself a part of her and Ink's relationship. You gotta hand it to Mia how she's really just rewriting history without any sensitivity to those around her. She's like,
yeah, this is where my love story started with Ink, who I'm still with, by the way. It's the greatest love story ever told.
Yeah. So they walk in, and there's like a bunch of like concierges, and they like greet them and everything. And it's a really beautiful house. Everyone's very happy. And they do like a toast. And Karen is like, this is as good as it gets. That's all. That's it. No more celebrations of Wendy. I'm also having a birthday this weekend. Because isn't Karen's birthday coming up? Isn't that the whole thing? Or no?
Well, she already had her celebration.
Oh, she did. You're right. It was the Inquisition birthday. Sorry. Mondays. Am I right, everyone?
Remember, she got her Uber cards and stuff. And so yes. Then she's like, every birthday that's been thrown by this group for me has gone completely to hell in a basket. And then we see Karen birthdays just going to shit, you know. Giselle taking the middle seat. Me and Wendy fighting last year at dinner. The ladies painting Karen's vagina and vagina.
Okay. Vagina.
Karen, now I'm starting to talk like Karen.
Oh, my vagina.
Vagina in Surrey County. Either way, the point is that Karen is jealous that Wendy seems to be getting a better birthday reception than Karen is. So she's like, everyone has to stop it. This is, we're capping it right here. So, and she goes, you all have my permission to cancel on Wendy's birthday celebrations. So they all go to their rooms and everything. And Karen is immediately furious because she discovers that she and Giselle will be sharing a bathroom. Both their rooms are attached to the same bathroom.
Yeah. And she's like, I can't do a boo-boo and say the same. No, I can't. I cannot do it. I will not do it. I shall not do it. It will not happen. Okay, I'll do it. I mean, where else am I going to sleep? The couch. That's not going to happen.
And so Giselle's Giselle's like, well, I really do have to pee, so I'm going to pee really quickly then. She goes, do you have to use the word pee? I'm going to have to use that. I'm going to have to use it at some point, and you're going to pee like a cow. And she's like, well, what else? What are you going to do in there? Are you going to pee? She goes, oh, no, I'm going to urinate. When it's the proper time, urinate.
I thought she was going to come up with a sprinkle, something, tinkle.
Or tinkle.
Yeah, I'm going to, yeah, something cute, but not urinate. I think pee is better than urinate. Who says that? Pardon me while I urinate. I don't even, then no one fancy says urinate. That's probably like a four-letter word to fancy people.
She sounds like, well, I'm going to pee like a horse. So now they're all, you know, it's more room stuff and looking around and stuff. You know, Ashley sees her room and Mia's saying that, like, oh, there's a place where you can do your little tinky tonkies. And then Jacqueline's like, she really wants to have her own room because now she's paranoid that she's going to be viewed as a sidekick. So she's like, where's my room? Is this not my room? Can I not have a room? What's going on with this?
And Jesse says, you're probably going to sleep with Mia. And she's like, no, I want to be in my own room. She's like, Mia, we're besties. But in Miami, we were in the same room. And then we see a flashback to them sharing a room. And her saying, well, I'm not going to be attached to the hip of Mia for the rest of my life. Okay, then get off the show. Because you didn't get on here with your own sparkling talent and personality. You were brought on by somebody, okay? You don't get to just be brought to the dance and then ditch the person who brought you to the dance. I mean, I guess you do get to do that. But you at least have to become like a full cast member first. Or is she a full cast member? She's still friend of, right?
Yeah, she's still friend of. Still implies that she will someday not be a friend of. I think she just is friend of. By the way, one of the distinct joys about doing Watch What Crappens is that occasionally I just sort of just like look up and I appreciate Ronnie just sort of like reading someone while casually stroking his face with his like infrared skin thing. Like I don't know what Jacqueline expects, but you know what? She is just a sidekick and she either stays as a sidekick or she gets off the show as he's just stroking his face. Like it just makes it so much more devastating for those people who can only hear him. You're missing out on this view of Ronnie right now with this infrared thing.
Well, listen, you got to get your skincare in. You got to get some skincare in where you can get it. Like, when else am I going to
sit here and just stroke my face,
you know?
Well, I fully support it. It's just there's something about the way you basically take someone down while you're doing it so sort of like slowly. It's like the equivalent of like a girl brushing her long hair slowly and being like, well, we don't like her, you know? It's just so perfect.
Oh, gosh. So Jacqueline's like, well, I'm not just a friend of, and how dare my bestie not give me a great room? So then we see that Kierna gets stuck in the bunk bedroom, and she's someone else who's like having trouble escaping friend of energy. And Mia's not having it. So she puts her in the bunk bedroom. And she's like, I'm rooting for Mia. And this is what you give me? Bunk beds? The last room in the whole house? Thanks a lot. Now I know what you think about me. Because, you know, the hardest on the new girls is the previous new girl.
Yeah. Oh, of course. It's like shut the door behind you mentality. Yeah. So Kierna's, she's like, no, thank you. Like, I need to band them back together, or then I'm going to have the queen guys. So, but she's actually pretty chill about it. So then Karen sees the bunk beds and she is horrified. She's like, Karen, this is where you might be living if that court case doesn't go well.
But yours will be made out of cement.
And she's like, who's in here? And they say, Stacy, she's in boot camp. And she's like,
I put Kay and Stacy in the bunk bedroom because they're in girlfriend boot camp. And it's who's the toughest, you know?
All right. Well, A, basically you're hazing. B, I love this idea that like the boot camp really is just like, can you sleep in a twin size bed? If you can sleep in a twin size bed, then you're okay. Has Mia even had to sleep in a twin size bed on this show? Because guess what? A whole bunch of them had to in season one when they went to Ashley's Rehoboth.
Oh God, Ashley's little guest home thing that she took everybody to on the lake. That was another lake, right?
No, that was
on the beach. Yeah.
Yeah. This show has come a long way from Ashley's twin size beds for everyone in Rehoboth Beach to now this nice, you know, Airbnb on Lake Dorman.
Yeah. But I think it's like suffering the sheer embarrassment of being put in the bunk bedroom. Like, how are they going to deal with it? But they're all very mature. Like, okay.
Yeah, and I think that Mia is anticipating that Stacey's going to have a meltdown because Stacey's like, you know, like she's like a Barbie almost. Like she's like, everything's perfect. Everything's fine. And I'm pretty and nice and da-da-da-da-da. So but then we go into Wendy's room, and Wendy's room has like balloons. It says 40. It's just like all done up. And Karen is so jealous. She once again does a thing where she like curls her top lip over her bottom lip and then lowers her chin like. And... no one ever did this for me. So and then Wendy reflects on the fact that, you know, Mia and I, we've had a very checkered past. And, you know, I know our relationship continues to be evolving. And Mia and I, me and a lot of the ladies have come a very long way and we have history. And the fact that they're willing to come together to celebrate me, they can't refuse the Godiva of a goddess, baby.
So Karen is like, well, this is where you thank me for all the fucked up birthdays. And your 40th is good. Happy birthday. Happy birthday. Come here and hug me awkwardly. All right. Now, I don't mind having the best room, but did they have to decorate it? Really? The last thing they decorated, they put a handcuff in the shape of, balloons in the shape of handcuffs at my birthday party. But enjoy your lovely decorations. I'm glad that they're celebrating. Last time they had a cake where someone jumped out, it was a police officer asking me to walk in a straight line. So enjoy your room, Wendy.
I love Karen being upset that someone has like stolen her thunder, her birthday thunder, essentially, when she has just literally cock-blocked Giselle's tribute to her father event the week before.
Oh, God, it's not like her father would remember.
Well... that was a quite rude joke, but you know what?
So
watch what happens.
I take it back, everybody.
Okay, so now they all go to the kitchen for lunch. And by the way, reading it back, the room selection sounds very sort of like endless and boring, but watching it was actually very funny, I have to say.
Well, that's good.
You're like, I'm glad you were entertained, Ben. I'm glad
you enjoyed that. Yeah. So then now they're heading to the kitchen for lunch and stuff. And then Jacqueline's like, it's not a bunk bed. And Jesse's like, a win is a win, okay? And she's like, oh, they're really going to put Stacy in a junk bed? A bunk bed, I mean? A junk bed. Hi, here's your bed. It's the recycling bed. Enjoy it.
Yeah.
But yeah. She's shocked that they're going to do that to Stacy. And so then they see this other huge room and they're like, whose room is this? And Jassy says, this is your room, Jacqueline. She's like, it is. And Giselle's like, she's lying.
But Jassy's like, no, this is your room, Jacqueline, because it's clearly Mia's and you're going to be stuck with Mia. So actually, it's funny because this room situation is continuing to go on. I thought it was over, but it is continuing on. But they're all, it's just like a lot of, again, room selection, et cetera. So anyway, they all gather, they eat, and then Stacy finally arrives. And Karen is talking, and she's like, Giselle and I have almost progressed where we never wanted to be. We are sharing a bathroom, everyone. And then Stacey walks in, and she's like, I have traveled extensively all over the world with my soon-to-be ex-husband. So this is the first time that I'm actually traveling with just the girls. And I've never really had the opportunity to travel like this. And I'm excited. It's going to be absolutely great.
Yeah. And so Giselle's like, well, tonight I'm going to be getting on the road and going home. And tomorrow morning is Angel and Adore's cap and gown ceremony at their school. I'm very upset about it. It's my storyline. Everybody watch me tear up. Just kidding. But I'll be leading. So, and Karen's like, well, that's just a lot. It's a lot. It's a lot, Giselle. She goes, it's a lot. But you know, I'm here for whatever the hell this is right now.
Whatever this trip is. By the way, I just want to tell everyone that even though my daughters are graduating from high school tomorrow, we will be dragging out their graduation ceremony over the next 8 episodes. So enjoy.
Yeah.
Buckle up.
We will be trying to convince America that I have feelings over the next few episodes. So enjoy that arc. So then she's like, anyone have to fight? Because that's what we're here for. Anyone want to make the paychecks for the day? So Jacqueline tries it. And she's like, so Jassy, the ladies heard you on the plane saying that I'm Mia's sidekick. And she's like, oh, yeah, they were listening too hard. That was never said. Well, I just felt very attacked because some of the ladies have been giving the connotation that I'm living in Mia's shadow. And
like, what is that? Jacqueline, we can't quite see you. It seems like there's a shadow over you at the moment. Oh, I'm sorry.
Mia, why did you get up to get water? The sun is literally in my... Okay, thank you. She moved back.
Jacqueline's like, I have my own business. I'm a mom. I hold it down. Okay. I have never been anybody's psychic. Oh my God. I can't believe I'm doing this interview alone. Where's Mia? Where's Mia?
What's your business called? La Amiga. Okay. Well, the friend. She's like, I'm the main course, honey. Okay. I'm giving the full bodied everything, honey. Okay. I'm giving the steak and the lobster. Okay, well, why can't you just give the steak? Why do you have to be two people sides on each other's dish?
Why are you giving a sidekick meal? Like a meal that's
like,
meal,
I'm like... giving potatoes and mac and cheese.
Nothing but sides. So Jassy's like, really? Where are you giving that? Jassy says that. Jacqueline goes, honey, you want me to stand up and show you how I'm giving it? So she stands up. She goes, the hair, the body, the intellect, the finesse, the t-shirt that says I'm with Mia. Oh God, well, that was a gag. That was that's a supporting argument. I get it.
And she goes, I'm giving it. And Jassy says, the neck up for sure.
There is no sidekick here, honey. And Jassy's like, from what I've gotten to see from Jacqueline, she's just a little obsessed with Mia. Okay. And we see like clips of her and everything. And Jacqueline being like, she's my friend. And she goes, Jassy's like, it just makes her a bit strange to me.
Yeah. And she's like, well, actually, I was just joking. And I was saying, you know, we're expecting her to give a great house trip because this year she has an even better sidekick. And Jacqueline says, which is yourself. Jacqueline is so cringy, by the way. This whole like, oh, is this a sidekick? And then she stands up. She's like, I'm strong enough to cover a house. Like siding Jacqueline. She's like twirling. Like, oh, she's so embarrassing. And so she's like, you're the sidekick. And Jassy's like, okay.
Well, she's exactly. Like, yes. She's like, that was the joke. And Giselle's like, you're fighting to be a sidekick. Woohoo. The self-esteem is wow. So Jassy's like, yeah, but when she was so heated about it, I was like, okay, take it. And Stacey goes, and that doesn't bother you to call yourself a side chick? And Jassy's like, no, it doesn't bother me. I said it as a joke because I know people know I am not a sidekick. By the way, I did meet Taylor Swift. And I'm like, I can say that I'm friends with her now.
Yeah, my husband's a celebrity.
So Karen is like, well, where is this heat coming from, Jassy? Because Jassy is cool, by the way. Where is the heat coming from? Because Jassy is cool. And Giselle says, oh, they're working it out, Karen. Let them fight before our main event.
So then basically everyone's like, so she's just a pick me, right? Because she's giving that kind of energy, you know. It's
well, because but Jacqueline says this. Jacqueline goes, she's like, you know what, Jassy, I'm happy you're in her life because I know I'll always be number one. It's like, you were just standing up proclaiming that you're not a sidekick, and now you've said I'm number one, like number one in line next to Mia. Like, of all the people who are friends with Mia, I'm her number one friend. I was like, which one is it, Jacqueline? How, like, this is like within seconds that you just contradicted yourself.
I know, she's so crazy. But then is Jassy really close with Mia even? Or she's just saying, you're the one who's a sidekick. And she goes, okay, yeah, I am a sidekick. And she's like, well, you're not hurt. You better not be. You better back off. I'm always her number one sidekick. It's like, whoa, crazy pants. So then Karen's like, well, I've been thoroughly entertained. So now the boat's going to come get them for a cruise around the boat. And then they're going to have dinner and stuff. And she's like, and then my guests will have arrived. And they're like, we're having guests. She goes, we are. My girlfriends that live here are coming to visit. They stood up for me and Ink at our almost wedding that we probably could have had. Just pretend we did.
So Ash is like, oh my God, we're having a party. And Mia's like, yeah, a little cocktail party. And Wendy's like, well, congratulations, Wendy. So Wendy's like excited that she's getting a whole party, and Karen just rolls her eyes because she never got thrown a party like this on her birthday.
So then Mia's like, they say, so Jacqueline, do you know these girls? And she's like, well, they're Mia's friends and I'm cordial with them. Absolutely. I'm like, oh. So now she sees girls because they're close with Mia.
The competition and everything. And Mia's like, yeah, she used to text and talk to one of them, but then she theatrically exited the group chat. Like, what does that mean? And they don't even explain it. They just like leave it there and just keep going.
So Stacy says, Jacqueline, you have a lot of beef with a lot of people, huh? She's like, I don't have beef with a lot of people at all. Do I, Mia?
Well, hello, Grand Beef Dom over here. I have been nothing but a friend to Jacqueline, and I feel that she is not a friend. I want to be transparent. Let me be very clear. Is another way of saying I want to be transparent. And, okay, so let me be very clear that I want to be very transparent in front of the whole group. When you came to me the night before my party for a phone call, you were seeking my advice. No one was drunk on that phone call. And I swear, when I picked up both of those receivers on my phone, which I didn't know there were two, but apparently there are two. You have to hold two of them to your ear at the same time. Not saying I had double vision or anything. I just think that there were two receivers. But when I picked up that phone call, no one was drunk.
I see you, Jacqueline. I see two of you right in front of me.
Are you drunk right now?
I am not. Both of you can stop implying that.
It's like, do you okay, know, this woman is so crazy. She spells her name J-J-A-A-C-C-Q-Q-U-U-E-L-L-I-N-N-E. Who needs that many letters?
Now put down both of your fortune cookies while I finish reading you.
When do we get off this boat? We're still at the dining room, Karen. No, things are swaying a bit. I'm pretty sure we're on the boat.
Why is Gilligan over there questioning me?
That's Jack and Karen.
Well, fuck her too. Take off the hat.
Commercials. Here comes one right now.
Giselle's like, Karen, just so that you know, anything that Jacqueline said, I felt was not malicious or mean. She was just saying that you were drunk. So.
She was just saying that you were drunk on television ahead of your court case where you are facing charges for driving drunkenly across a median.
Don't do that.
And Giselle says, well, I don't want you to be mad at her. And she goes, nah, no, I'm not mad. I'm passionate about it. I'm passionate about being mad. That's all. But I'm not actually mad.
And Jacqueline's like, we don't have to have further conversation about it, do we, Mia? Once again, she doesn't hear anything I have to say. So look at her. Just ignore. You're lying. You're a liar. And this is why I don't fuck with either one of you, Jacqueline. And Jacqueline's like, okay, well, then don't fuck with me, Karen. Don't. Because you're deflecting about a lot of things right now. Let's be honest. And do not call me a liar. Do not do that. It's like, you are a fucking liar. I'll call you a liar all day long, liars. I've been nothing but friend to both of you.
I tried to be helpful, and this is how they both repay me. You backstabbing heifer. I really don't care, though, because Jacqueline's are irrelevant to me.
when she called her backstabbing after I died. And Giselle's like, well, this is actually Karen being one, a mean girl, and two, a deflecting mean girl. I love Giselle. Okay, are you really that changed this season that suddenly you're going to call people out for being a mean girl? That's your jam, baby.
She goes, yeah, just deflecting, and don't want anybody. Nobody wants to talk with you, and I'm not even deflected. I'm not deflected. I still know, Karen, that you have a court case. And Karen goes, what the fuck have I done to you, ladies? And by ladies, I mean Jacqueline's, for you to lie on me. Shut up.
Don't fuck with me, okay? Because you're a flipper, and I don't fuck with flippers unless they're for your teeth. Which, in which case, this one won't really stick very well. But that's neither here nor there. Flipper. Flip Wilson.
Flip of the dolphin. So, Jacqueline.
I ran out of flips.
There's only so many flips you can really have. So,
you ugly man, shoe.
Flip. Karen, stop saying flip. All right, fine.
So I'm not that kind of person, guys. I'm really not. Guys, I'm not that kind of person. Mia, tell him, please.
Well, I'm on the receiving end of it, and I don't buy it. And Jacqueline's like, whatever. You can cry until the cows come home. I don't give a fuck, Jacqueline's. And Giselle's like, Karen, nah. Karen, come on now. She's just a sidekick. Don't be so mean to her.
Do not fuck with me. Do not. Well, I'm not the only one that was concerned. Don't lie on me. Don't fuck with me. Don't lie or fuck with me. Lie on me. Fuck with me. Fucking me. Lie on me. Lie with me. Lie on me. Lie. Karen, stop.
Flip phone. So Mia's like, Karen, we were all concerned, okay? And Karen's like, people judging me is the least of my worries. When have you ever known the grand dame to crumble? Never. And it ain't gonna happen. How many wonders are there in the world? Seven? Seven wonders, as far as I can tell, there's 14, and I'm the 8th, which makes me the 16th, especially in this group. They are so obsessed.
How many wonders? I'm number 8.
Yes, Karen. Didn't you just run into a tree? I love her. She's like, no one will ever see me crumble 5 minutes ago. I broke, and I'm not ashamed to admit it.
Ladies and gentlemen, how many world wonders are there? 7, and I'm the 8th. I'm also a fence. That's it. That's right, America. The 8th world wonder is a fence. The Grand Canyon, Niagara Falls, the Hanging Gardens of Babylon, and a fence of Potomac.
Oh, God. What a nutcase. So now it's time to get up, and Mia's comforting, or Wendy's comforting Jacqueline. And Wendy's like, listen, I know that you guys have issues, but these days are really about me. So you guys need to be happy, okay? I don't want crying. I just want people celebrating me. So let's concentrate on that.
So then they lead Stacey to the room because she hasn't seen it yet. And they're like, oh, my God, Stacey's going to have a meltdown. Oh, my God, she's going to go from QVC host to monster. Wait, watch. And then they bring her in and Stacey's like, oh, my gosh, bunk beds. Are those for me? Yay. I've always wanted to be in a bunk bed. And everyone's like, what? She's like, when I was growing up, I wanted to have bunk beds so bad. What are the chances that I'm walking into my first girls' trip and I get to have a roommate and we get to have to sleep in a bunk bed? I am so happy.
You know what's so crazy is the second time this has come up this week. Because when I was with my boyfriend, I said, are we ever going to sleep together? And he said, if we do, it's going to be on bunk beds. And here we are. It must be a sign.
Now I understand when he talked about tops and bottoms. So Karen is like,
you know, he said he was versatile, like, but he did like to get up to go to the bathroom in the middle of it.
Karen is like, this is so good because, like, I was like, I don't even know Stacey, but here we are. And Stacey's like, well, we are going to get to know each other. And she's like, yeah. So Karen is like, yeah, I thought she was going to be more upset, but. You know, I thought she was going to be more upset about the bunk bed, given her length. But Stacey's attitude inspires me. Like her length.
Because she's too tall to fit in the bunk bed.
Yes.
Oh, gosh. So now Jassy and Jacqueline are talking, and Jassy's like, okay, when I said neck up, I just meant that whatever going on, I can't deny that you're a beautiful woman. I wasn't thinking about, oh, how your body is shaped. I hope you don't think I was body shaming you. And Jacqueline's like, was it my outfit? And she's like, well, I don't like your outfit, Jacqueline, but that's not why I said that. She goes, well, it's fine. It's just an airport outfit. Mia likes it.
Mia picked it out for me. So now we go to Ashley's room, and Ashley is FaceTiming with a guy about an event. And she just basically tells us that she is hosting a lot of shows, like drag shows and comedy shows or whatever, because she needs to make money because she is raising kids. So that's her journey right now.
She's hustling, okay? And then while she's talking, you hear a gunshot and then see a deer start running through the trees. Are you allowed to do that with your neighbor's home? I don't know. You're allowed to just literally hunt in the backyard. What the hell?
It wasn't a gunshot. It was Karen throwing throwing a chair at a tree to scare the deer.
Dear, my mortal enemy. Never forget
you
my flashback.
You did this to me, you little fucker.
So then they're like, Kiana and Stacey are figuring out their room, and there's a little dresser, and Stacey is like, well, my clothes don't go in drawers. They have to be hung. I was like, ooh, I love that. I can sense Stacey's inner monster is like creeping towards the front, but it's not there yet. But like, I feel like we're seeing the little diva signs. It's going to happen.
Oh yeah. So then she's like, do you want to use the bunk bed as a rack? And so they make friends. And so Kiana's mm-hmm. like, so are you going to hang up clothes so they don't get wrinkled or what? Yeah, exactly. So Stacey's
no, she's
like,
going to walk them into a ball.
Yeah. How are we supposed to be ready in 45 minutes? There have to be more bathrooms here, right? Is this a bathroom? Oh, that's a closet. Is this a bathroom? That's a Pac-Man machine. I love Pac-Man.
I am so happy right now. So
she's giving me like crazy trying to convince everybody she's really happy energy, and she has not given this in the past few episodes. So I'm confused as to where this energy is coming from, because the past few episodes, she hasn't seemed miserable or anything, but she hasn't been trying too hard to seem like she's like Pollyanna. So it seems weird that she's coming out with it this episode.
So then Mia is talking to Jacqueline and asking if she's okay, and Jacqueline's like, yeah, I'm okay. Karen's pissed. All I said was that I thought she was drinking and she turned this into some big shit. And Mia's like, Karen has to deflect, right? Because she doesn't want to talk about her citations. So she's going to talk about somebody. And ding, 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 ding. Jacqueline, it's your turn.
I mean, it's right that Karen does like to deflect and stuff. But you also did come into a party for a lady that had just had a DUI and told everybody at the party that she was just calling you drunk. Like, don't act like you were doing that to be messy. Give me a fucking break, lady.
Yeah, that's true. So now Stacey's sitting down with Karen and she's like, I have just been so grateful for the past few months, but being back home with my husband, soon to be ex-husband, and Arabella, the closer we get to mediation, I have to tell Arabella that we're getting a divorce. And I don't know that I'm prepared to do that to Arabella. She's 8.
Oh, God. Well, here's what you do. Get a syringe and tell her this is only going to hurt your back for a moment, and then stick it in the spine and start sucking out some fluid. Because what those have are stem cells. Bring those to my house and you'll ask your daughter, do you remember anything I told you about the divorce? She won't, because those shots will be painful. But I'll comfort you and I'll look 10 years old again.
Oh. Wow. I never thought a spinal tap was the way to go, but it apparently is. Thank you so much, Karen, for this wonderful advice.
Now, you know, I've never blown smoke up your ass. I've tried, but it's extremely tight. So I want to talk to you here. Now, the girls have given some feedback. She goes, oh, feedback? What's the feedback? Well, okay, I'm going to bring it to you slow, all right? They say you're boring, girl. They say you're boring. Every single one of them. Everybody hates you. Even the driver thought you were boring. I said, look, here's her on QVC. They all fell asleep. We ran off the road. I said, if I'm caught again, I drag that out with my fist and I push the car all the way back here just so I wouldn't get another trouble call from the cops. And here I am, sweaty but alive, all because of your boringness. Please stop being so boring. You're killing the show.
Karen saying, I'm going to bring it to you slow. By the way, you're boring. If that's her version of slow, this explains why she got into the accident. So I think she may have some speed issues.
This is like the verbal equivalent of running into a tree.
So Stacy goes, boring? Who said I was boring? She goes, no name calling. Well, you better tell me who. Well, it's just a general consensus. What I'm trying to say is that everyone thinks you're boring. Every single person thinks listen, I want to bring this to you. I'm going to tell you, I want to let you down easily. Everyone hates you. So
so funny. I love that she's like, I don't want you to feel bad and think it's somebody that hates you. It's everyone. Everyone. The whole group.
Everyone. There's no reason to call anyone out because it's a collective feeling. So Stacy goes, you know, I get all the jokes about Stacy is so happy. She's so quirky. I'm sorry that I'm joyful. I don't use my success to divide. I use my success and all this to unite people. And then we see this clip of her on QVC saying, as a proud Christian, I think that if you're picking up this beautiful trinket, what a wonderful way to stay close to God by putting this cross right on your wrists. Am I right? I've now united all of you with my joy.
Listen, if you really love God, you'll be sending me money soon, you know, that kind of vibe. And so she's like, you know, I know it's so difficult for people to take it all in, you know, just understand the light that shines through me. What is she, a jack-o'-lantern? It's just me. It'll be okay. I'm not flammable.
I mean, of course, I could have chosen all sorts of different lanterns and lamps to be an example of light shining through, but a jack-o'-lantern's the only one that smiles, a permanent smile. That's just a happy, happy, happy pumpkin. So Karen is like, you know, people like to come for what they aspire to be. wait, are they aspire to be boring? Is that what she's saying?
Yeah, I guess so. It's like they just want to be you. Very, very exhausting. You know, people do get addicted to Ambien. It's a thing. So
now they go onto this boat. A very narrow boat where I felt claustrophobic because you could tell that the camera people were like standing in the middle and having to like pivot left and right just to get people into frame. And they get into the boat and everything and they go out and Captain Mike takes them out into the lake and they look around and everything. And they have to keep cutting away to like the waves of the lake, which feels very ominous. It feels like someone's about to get thrown overboard or left behind or something like that. But they're just, you know, they're floating along and everything. And Captain Mike has a little tidbit. He's like, excuse me, ladies. Now, Miss Mia, you'll see on the left, there's a bridge to Governor's Island, and that's where celebrities are. It's like, yeah, celebrities. You know, race car drivers, Panther players, Ink. God, he's pretty much a celebrity around here.
Ink, huge. He's huge. And Stacy's like, well, we've gotten to know each other really well so fast, right? And Kieran is like, oh, yeah, it's like personal between us because we have bunk beds. So we're like sisters now. And she's like, yeah, so deep. We're sisters. Isn't that hilarious? Just you and me against the world. Not against, with the world. I love you guys.
And Stacy's basically telling Jassy, like, you know, by the way, Jassy, we have a bed for you. We've got like 7 beds. So Kierna, by the way, Kierna, out of all the women in the group, who are you not close with? It's like, I wonder if a producer asked you to ask that question. And Kierna's like, well, me and Ashley, of course, very interesting situation. And Stacy's like, oh, really? Did she ever apologize for her role in everything that happened last year? Do you want to get mad about it right now?
And she's like, well, I wasn't ready to accept the apology, but I did press charges. You know, that's an assault with a deadly weapon. And then I pressed my own charges. You know, the city did, and then I did too. She's like, and what happened? What happened, if you don't mind me asking? And she's like, oh, well, we're still waiting on the court date. And so Mia, as she's asking Mia, she's like, so on Mother's Day, you posted a very nice photo of you and Gordon and your beautiful children and Ink. And was that here when you said it was New Year's Eve? And she's like, yeah. Sometimes Gordon's good with us all being together in the same house, sleeping under the same roof. And then sometimes he's like, who are you? And he pulls out a machine gun and he threatens everybody. And then we lock the bank and hide away from him for a little while. And then it's okay for another little while. We're doing our best to take care of poor Gordon during this difficult time. It's like, oh my God. Gordon went poor, and now you're just like, look what you're doing to Gordon. She's like, poor Gordon, walking around all day in his hospital robe, flashing his butt to the innocent children who deserve none of this. Like,
are you still married to Gordon? And Mia's like, mm-hmm. And she's like, well, that's a lot for him to take, I think. I mean, all of this is too soon, and it's confusing. And if I'm confused, the children are very confused. And Mia's like, yeah, well, he's on medication. Yeah, he's better. Like, you know, he's getting the help that he needs. And she's
like, that's her answer. She's like, it's confusing the children. She's like, well, he's on medicine. No, it's not. It's confusing that you're living as three parents, I guess. But listen, I'm all for alternative lifestyles. I mean, maybe the kids will be better having three parents, you know? Why not?
Well, she talks about his how he's dealing with being bipolar, and that like when he gets manic, he starts spending cash and he wants to buy cars with cash, and he bought the G-Wagon with cash. We see a flashback to him being like, I'm gonna get a G-Wagon. And then what happens is it puts the marriage into a pickle, and then she, you know, Mia has to pick up the pieces, and she's like, I'm not doing it now anymore. So Kiana, then we go back to Kiana, who's talking about, you know, like to Stacey about like, oh, wow, it's, you know, it's too bad you didn't fly with us, but I understand it's a serious situation with your uncle, you know. But by the way, they were talking about your dating. And Stacey's like, well, Ashley was saying that, like, I'm getting a divorce and I've got a new man and and I just didn't like that energy of it. So I had to say something.
Hey, wait a minute, Stacey. I said that he's a friend. I didn't say Stacey's getting a divorce and she's getting under a new man. Stop saying that. I didn't know it was a national secret.
I think actually I'm on Ashley's
side. Go ahead, Ben.
I was going to say I'm on Ashley's side with this.
I'm not really, because it's still Kiana's thing to bring up to the group when she's like, here's my storyline, Ashley. And Ashley's like, here's her storyline. Like, let the woman meter it out. And I love that the QVC lady came so prepared, you know, for a storyline and stuff. She already knows what she's doing, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. So Karen says, well, I know that she is a very private person, a boring private person that we all agreed is very, very boring. Okay, on a scale of 1 to Captain Mike, how boring is Stacey? We're going to say 3 Captain Mikes out of 5.
You know, so QVC, quiet, very, cod, she's boring. Extremely boring.
Quite very... closed, quite very quite very closed eyes.
I would come up with a word for the sea, but I'm exhausted even thinking about Stacey, so I've lost all the energy to come up with a word.
And so Wendy's like, well, this is, you know, everyone shares differently, okay? And then Kiana, Stacey, and Jassy are squeezing into sit with them, and Stacey's like, well, I never thought I was going to go through a divorce. I thought I was going to be married forever, and I have a wonderful man who loves me, and I just can't even start that relationship with him because I'm not done with my marriage. And the way you spoke about him in that moment, I just felt like you took someone special and you reduced it. So I'm sorry. I shouldn't have snapped at you.
It's like, I appreciate that.
But you very much were like, Ashley, you're messy, you're messy, and I think that's what unnerved you, Ashley, correct? Let's fight correctly here, please. I'm only here for a day. Yeah.
Come on, we need to do the full song, not just the first verse. So Ashley's like, yeah, but she doesn't know me. She just met me, so how would she know? Yes, but you also spent hours at my house. Then you came over the next day, put your bunion on my marble countertops, and I thought we were getting to know each other, Ashley.
I love it. This is very Karen-coded, right? Yeah. Like, and then you put your feet on my countertop. Don't worry, I forgave you for that. But now you put your bunion feet on my marble, which is very difficult to clean.
Arabella eats wash there. Off.
Yeah, you could have killed my daughter with your bunion disease.
How dare you, ma'am? So Ashley is saying that she understands Stacey's position because she doesn't want her ex-husband to potentially hear about the new best friend or love interest. But she's like, I'm telling you from experience, it's going to eat you up from the inside. It's not fun for everybody. Stacey's like, ugh, what I would give to be eaten up on the inside. Anyway, I'm in new waters.
So she's like, literally in new waters. TJ and I aren't intimate. Because he's a devout Christian, and I haven't been intimate with anyone in a year. And everyone's like, all the water is sucked out of the lake. It's like,
just Giselle's like, I was married to a man that believes in the Lord, and there was a whole lot of sex going on. I'm like, yeah, but look how that turned out, too.
Yeah, I mean, to be fair, Jamal has his own version of kind of preacherism. Okay, I don't know that I would really follow his example.
Well, I would just say that I think that the sex wound up not so great in the end. But hey, at least there's always Arizona's, the restaurant. They got that restaurant. So Mia's like, Stacy's not so bad. That's my opinion. I'm going to stick to that. And Jacqueline's like, me too. Whatever Mia said, I say the same thing.
Yeah. So then Wendy's like, well, wait, what are they talking about now? So then Stacy's like, oh, and who called me boring? And Giselle goes, I think I called you stiff, if that helps, I think. And Wendy's like, I think it was Mia. It was Mia. Okay, Mia called you boring. And she's like, so, Mia, you called me boring, and then you gave me the kids' room? What's going on? Is that where boring people sleep? Do you think kids are boring? What are you trying to say here, Mia?
Well, we had a conversation at breakfast this morning, and we all agreed that you're just a little uninteresting. And she,
everyone's like, Wendy's like, oh, that was diabolical. Stacy's like, I know it's a lot to take. I move in a different way. I don't let things bother me. Like a kid's bed with a safety rail. I spread joy.
That tickled me. And Karen's like, this is the Stacy I know, the girl that makes you crack your side. Look at that. Everybody laughing, yawning. There's a couple of yawns, but still, she's warming up. And what she's going through right now, I remember when I divorced what that was like. I don't really. It was a long time ago, but I'm still very upset about it. And we need to support her, everybody. Support her. Stop calling Stacy. You're boring. I'm bored now. Are we going to continue this facade? Get Stacy a cane, a top hat, some tap dance shoes, something. Please, God, I'm falling asleep here.
You know, this friendship is like coming around just at the right time because, like, I'm like a vessel and everything I've been getting, I'm just going to give it right back to Stacy, paying it forward.
I'm like, what have you been getting, Ashley? I don't understand that.
Yeah, so she's going to get revenge on all the nothing that's been done to her. Okay. And by the way, you kicked them out of the party, which was way worse.
Yes, exactly. So Mia is like,
all right, ladies, it's time to go back to the house now.
So they are going and they're strutting and now they're back at the house and there's some cocktails. There's Bicoastal Queen because Mia referred to herself as being bicoastal because she lives in Potomac and also in Lake Norman.
So then Giselle gives a speech and she's like, I need to say a couple of things. Now, I have daughters. Their names are Angel and Adore. I love them. They're going to college. They're learning to drive. They're graduating from high school. They're getting their vaginas frozen. Wait a minute. You're just going through every storyline in The Housewives. I'm sorry. It's been a long few years. Okay, college, leaving soon. Karen, I'm mad at you. Let's fight.
Well, Karen, there's already been some opening fights that we had with the newbies, and now it's time for the main event. The lights have gone down. It's darkness. It's dinner time, so it's time for our main event fight. So I just want to say that the event of it all, you knew I had an event. You knew how important the event was to me and to Ashley, and I feel like I'm being the utmost friend to you, and I'm not getting it in return. And Karen's like, whoa, okay. I do want to address your dad's event. I needed my friends with me too that day to receive the Pep Boys honorary certificate of being a good person who has tires on their car. It was a big deal for me. I needed friendship at that moment.
And she's like, Karen, stop talking. Karen's like, well, you asked me what day it was. And I said, I don't know. Be there at both events. I don't know. I told the ladies, come to my event because I didn't know when your event was. When was your event? Sunday, Friday, Thursday? Was it the same as mine? That's crazy. Nobody even told me. Did you have an event? What was it for?
She's like, well, you,
Karen. Karen, stop fucking with me. All right, I'm very sorry that you decided to celebrate brain trauma on the same day that I had my very important event being honored by whoever it was that was honoring me. I don't remember, but I do remember the award was shaped like a fuzzy dice and it hangs in the front of a car window, which is very touching. It is a bit distracting. I hit a deer as I left that place. Wasn't drinking. Don't even question. Don't question me, anybody.
It's just a shame that no one was there to see me win not one award, but two awards. Like, Karen, when I was there, you only won one. You just saw two.
Well, I accepted it with four hands. So explain that one to me.
Well, you said you weren't going to double book. Well, I thought I was only booking a single thing, but apparently it was doubled. So Karen is like, you know, you asked me specifically what day it was. And, you know, I do really regret that I was not there for you in memory of your father. However, I do not take responsibility for your behavior.
Talking about my behavior, Karen. She goes, you could have been better. I raised you better than that, Giselle. She goes, no, you have not. And so they're all laughing. And Giselle's like, but moving forward, our communication can be better. She goes, it could be. I agree. Or do I agree? I don't agree. I don't know. Do I agree? Is it Saturday? Is it Sunday? I agree. With all of those things, you're forgiven, Giselle. Thank you for the apology in public. Girls, wasn't that good? Thank you, Giselle. Thank you.
And again, I feel like I have 100% been there for you. And she goes, you have, and I want the girls to know that Giselle has been there for me all over the place. Giselle's like, so if I'm...
Except when she chose her father over me at my big award ceremony, when she didn't show up.
Karen.
Instead celebrated her father, which I suppose was an important day for her. So congratulations to you. And I will be waiting for an apology for you not coming to my award ceremony. Thank you.
All right, so we're going backwards now, Karen. So if I'm going to be there for you, I want to feel it in return is my point.
Hmm.
And Karen's like, I agree with yous. And so Giselle's...
So she's like, I'm just sick of being mad at Karen. We need to clear the air and just dead this and bury it and move forward. I'm not going to fight with her anymore. Okay, bye. I'm going back tomorrow. I have daughters. And they're like, bye. Say hi to your... Daughters, both daughters, adorable daughters. All right, bye now.
So some more of Mia's friends arrive because a whole batch of them already had arrived and now some more of them arrive. And they're just like, they're like beautiful and cool. They're well-dressed. They're just like, everyone's like, wow, Mia has like cool friends. You know, everyone's pretty impressed. And
so Mia, what everybody wants on their birthday. Mia goes, all right, everybody. Here's the birthday girl. Just kidding. Here's my friends. Everybody go around and tell a funny story about me.
Yeah, on Wendy's birthday. So Joy is Mia's friend. And she goes, well, I think the best funny story was ink licking your toes. So we linked it between the big and the second. Happy birthday, Wendy. You get that visual for your 40th birthday.
Oh, yeah. We were on a yacht in Mexico, and he actually picked my foot up on that table and licked my nose. It was hilarious.
So then Ashley, who is another Mia's friend, says, like, oh, I met Mia 13, 14 years ago, and when I met her, she was getting married to G, and I was helping her shop for wedding shoes and all that. And Jacqueline goes, well, I knew Mia before she had G, like, in the Honda Civic, on, like, the 22 rims shopping at Payless. Okay, I'm number one. I'm the first sidekick, number one, Jacqueline, world's biggest Mia fan.
She starts spinning out of control, and everyone's like, okay, Mia is obviously trying to stake her claim. And Mia's like, well, there was a time where Joy and Karen and I went out in DC, and the funny story is, when you left, Karen, you butt dialed us. She goes, oh, did I? Well, my butt was dialing. Well, it is very active butt. What did it say? Tell me what it said. She's like, well, you were with someone else and you said those girls think I'm with Rain. She's like, I don't remember.
What?
Who? Come to my event. How dare you? How dare all 19 of you?
Well, I broke. How dare you? Bad friend. Jacqueline sucks. I'm not drunk. You're drunk.
Messy Mia.
It's so messy. Just ways to bring it up in front of the largest group possible. I guess she wanted to have Joy there as backup, but that's probably why she invited Joy in the first place, was out Karen butt dialing and saying something shady. I love this combination, like what the parallels between Karen and Shannon Bedore. They both get DUIs. They both are being accused of burdening their friends with drunken phone calls, and they both have had butt dials that are being weaponized against them.
True. How many seasons is it that Karen is accused of cheating on Ray? I think it's so funny that like every season there's a new story of Karen just fucking around all over town on Ray. It's so funny.
What? Blue eyes?
Oh, blue eyes.
So Mia picking up Robin's mantle of outing Karen for affairs. So love to see
it in a much funnier way.
Yes.
Much funnier exactly. about it than Karen, than Robin was. Robin would be like, you had an affair. But Mia's like, so I heard from my bed dial. So funny times. Yeah, well, this is the gift for Wendy. The birthday gift is scandal. So we will see how it all shakes out next week. But until then, thanks for listening. And we'll be back with a full slate of shows this week. So stick around and we'll catch you on the next one. Bye-bye. Bye, everybody.
Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
Ain't no thing like Allison King.
Ashley Savoni, she don't take no baloney.
We're fanning out for Bethany Fannin.
Put your hands together for Carly Clapp.
Dana C. Dana Do.
Erin McNicholas, she don't miss no trickolas. Jamie, she has no last namey.
Hava Nagila Weber.
Know Your Worth with Jason Kurth.
Sip Some Scotch with Jessica Trotch.
She's our favorite streamer, Caroline Peacock.
Kristen the Piston Anderson.
Bringing the Funk, it's Leslie Plunkett.
Let's Give a Kisserino to Lisa Lino.
Let's Get Feely with Maggie Sheely.
Megan Berg, you can't have a burger without the Berg.
Cast a Spell with Shannon Spellman.
The Bay Area Betches. Betches.
And our super premium sponsors.
Somebody get us 10 cc's of Betsy MD.
We're taking the gold with Brenda Silva.
Let's Get Real with Caitlin O'Neill.
Don't Get Salty with Christine Pepper. Can't have a meal without the Emily Sides.
Nobody holds a candle to Jamie Kendall.
We got our wish, it's Jen Plish.
She's not harsh, she's Jill Hirsch.
She's a little bit loony. Junie.
My favorite Murdo, Karen McMurdo.
We love him madly, it's Kyle Pod Shadley.
Let's Go on a Bender with Lauren Fender.
The incredible edible Matthews sisters.
Give him hell, Miss Noel.
Ring that bell for Rachel.
She's the queen bee, it's Sarah Lemke.
Shannon, out of a cannon, Anthony.
Let's take off with Tamla Plain.
She ain't no shrinking Violet Couture. We love you guys.
If you like Watch What Crappens, you can listen ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music. Before you go, tell us about yourself by filling out a short survey at wondery.com/survey.